Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Patient Players Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is the May the 31st edition of the Patient Players Podcast, episode 79. Made it all the way to 79 today. I am your host, Daniel, joined by my wonderful co-host, Jordan.
What's up, co-host? Janine Garofalo.
Wait, I normally get your bits. What's going on here?
Nothing. It's just a fun name.
Oh, like a D&D name generator?
No, I didn't actually know who that person is. Apparently, they're a stand-up comedian, actress, and writer.
Oh, where did you hear about Janine Garofalo?
From a video a long time ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Welcome to the podcast, Janine. Janinden. Jordaninden.
Jordaninden. Jordaffalo.
Video games, Jordan.
Video games enthusiast and lover of, I don't know, mac and cheese pizza. It's pretty good.
That is all right. I've had that. It depends on the mac and cheese. If it's like slimy, it's weird. But if it's like a little hard, a little chewy.
Man, I miss CeCe's. I love CeCe's.
Is CeCe's gone everywhere or just for you?
No, I it's not gone. I just love it. Did I say I love or I miss it?
You said you missed it.
Oh, I miss it. I just haven't had it in a long time. Do I want to go to CeCe's today?
Sure. Do what you want with your life.
That sounds
fun. You should do the podcast first.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Priorities.
Yeah, exactly. Our loving, patient listeners deserve this. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We talk about video games here. We game in the slow lane, is what we call it. So more often than not, you're going to hear us talking about games that we've missed at some point and gone back and played, or games we like to play that have been updated, that kind of thing. We're not usually jumping on the hottest trends, the newest game. Sometimes you get those hot takes, but that's kind of what to expect on this podcast. We have our gaming topics for you each week, and then we're going to end the podcast with the best part, the question and answer section, where you, the listener, can write us an email over at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com or through any of our number of podcast question channels through social media, through our Discord channel, directly on our live weekend recordings over on twitch.tv/patientplayers. All of that you can find at the website patientplayers.com/social. So make sure to head over there if you want to join in on the fun and ask questions either, again, like I said, live or via email or all those other things I mentioned. And we'll get to those later on. But for now, I want to know, it's been an extra week. Normally we're looking at 2 week gaps, but we had some craziness. Yeah. So it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah, a couple of corrections on Daniel's intro. Not weekly recordings, bi-weekly, or in this case, tri-weekly.
Because we try bi-weekly.
Oh, we try. Oh, that's beautiful. Tri-weekly. We try to do it just sometimes. And also, really, I think every take is a hot take when it comes from you, Daniel. I mean, have you looked in the mirror lately?
Oh, yeah, I know. If you're missing out on the video recording over on Twitch or YouTube, then you're missing out on my sleeveless outfit today.
But not weekly. Our house has been full of flies lately. It's so annoying.
Yeah, same here. It's like, it's a seasonal thing, I think. We get flies around this time of year.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
The fruit bowl doesn't help. You know, rotted bananas, attractive to flies.
At first, I thought you were saying that, like, that's a strategy you have to, like, trap them, but it sounds like you just have some rotted bananas.
I said it doesn't help.
Okay.
There's additional flies because of the bananas.
Oh. Well, you could eat them.
The flies? My dog tries to. I mean, he'll snap at him.
I was going to say the bananas, but that works too. Just lay out like a spoon of honey, because don't you do that anyways? You just put like a spoon of honey in the fridge. Oh no, that's peanut butter.
That is peanut butter. Flies would probably enjoy the peanut butter,
darn,
though.
I know, but I feel like they could escape more easily from peanut butter than honey.
That's true. Now, what if you got them in the peanut butter and then you put them in the freezer and froze them, and then they were stuck?
That's very nice of them to, like, wait for it to be frozen.
Peanut butter is just that good. You wouldn't want to leave.
Oh, that is so true. Oh, man. I put peanut butter. My future father-in-law hates the idea of peanut butter and chocolate going together. And I thought of you, Daniel. We had cookies and cream ice cream the other day, and I put some peanut butter on it. And
this has come up before on the podcast, and I have mentioned how it makes no sense to me, his opinions.
It makes absolutely no sense, because it is delicious. It is so good. Oh, my goodness.
Let's talk about what's more important than peanut butter, And that's...
That's nothing. That's, but let's talk about what's less important than peanut butter, which is video games.
No, you gotta let me go where I'm going, okay? Okay,
sorry. I thought...
Okay, where okay. I've been... So, we did miss last week, and there was a lot of personal reasons. We've had another tragedy in my family, so I've been out of the home once again. But sitting around, not at my home, with some extra time on my hands, but no computer to play video games, I've actually gone completely like neck deep into the world of cryptocurrencies and just learning, taking it all in, absorbing the crypto, becoming one with the crypto. That's been my week.
That is, heck, if cryptocurrency is not a patient game, like, that there isn't one in the world.
What I'm saying is, welcome to the patient investors, where your hosts who have made no money off of crypto are going to
I almost tell made you, $30 once, but I didn't sell.
Well, that doesn't count. Yeah, you got to actually make the money to make
but
money.
I theoretically made money, and then I lost a lot more. So theoretically, I guess I lost a lot more.
This sounds like every other investing podcast. We're probably right there. We're going to be like number three on the list pretty soon.
Oh, good.
The Crypt Bros.
Oh.
That's got to be a thing already, right? It's if it's not a cryptocurrency thing, that's definitely like a necromancy cult.
I was going to say, that sounds like the great... Judah's been looking for a name for his decapitation business. I feel like Crypt Bros is a really good name.
Wait, you got to have some context there. What the heck are you talking about?
Well, he's just saying there's a market for, you know, people... There's market for people getting married, you know... I think that's his only example. So there's a market for just, he just says, if you want to just die, you just contact him. It's like a hired assassin.
Yeah. So it's like assisted suicide, but this is really dark.
But with
I don't
more,
want to talk about this.
But with more action, I think. Yeah.
All right. But yes, that is where my mind has been a lot, talking about them Ethereums, proofs of stakings. Oh boy. Great little, great little preview of the Discord channel. Thanks, Jordan.
Oh,
thanks
boy.
For that.
I'm sorry. I wanted to message Judah about his business, and then I forgot that I'm screen recording my Discord.
Did you forget that you're actually recording a podcast?
No, I just thought, hey, I'll pop over and send Judah a message real quick. And then it hit me. So it did occur to me at least at some point.
Well, that has been the cryptocurrency section of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Now we move on to, you know, what everybody really loves, and I think that's video games.
Yes,
not as important as peanut butter.
Everyone does love video games, and if they don't, they're crazy.
That's true. I've met some crazy people.
I have too. I've seen some subreddits this week of people like against video games, and I'm like, this is really wow. People are really crazy.
Is that the point of the subreddit, or is it just
yes.
people complaining about...
No, oh. like, yeah, dedicated to video games are evil.
Is it like a bunch of homeschool moms, or is it
yes.
like other people?
Yes, that's what it seems like.
That yeah, sounds like a great play.
Because they're on Reddit, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty strange.
Okay, well, I need to go check that out now. That sounds hilarious. Okay, what have you been playing? It's been 3 weeks. Surely video games have occurred.
It's been 3 weeks. It has been 3 weeks. Wow, what have I been playing the past 3 weeks? Subnautica Below Zero,
yes.
Deep Rock Galactic, Miitopia.
Yes. Okay. That's new. That's a new one, right?
I think... Oh, Hearthstone. Tons and tons of Hearthstone.
Definitely a new one. Definitely not something that you've
yes,
played
never.
Every week for the last... 5 years.
Not for the past 5 years. No, there's been many years where I didn't play it at all. Like there.
But in your heart, you played it.
Yes. Yes. I've definitely watched more Hearthstone, like going to bed each night, than I have played it in the past 5 or 6 years. Like, no doubt. In fact, I doubt there ever be a time in my entire life where I've played more than I've watched it. But recently, I've actually been playing it more.
Cool.
Been playing it more with my fiance. It's been so great. Sometimes we're both just at our homes each night, separate homes, and then we just play Hearthstone before going to bed. And we talk on a video chat. It's very nice. I love it.
That sounds wonderful.
It is
how quaint.
It is very wonderful.
What's the win ratio?
100%.
Oh, so it's quaint and wonderful for one of you.
Maybe. Let's put it at like 98, just in case I forgot of a few times. But that's fine because she's so good at it. She's getting so good at it already, and it makes me so proud and happy. She's like,
the game is so luck based though, so it's like astounding to me that it wouldn't be like at least closer.
I wouldn't say it's luck based that much.
I guess. I mean, if you're going at it with equal decks, I feel like there's some strategy in like when you attack and when you cast what. But
actually, one thing that's been more fun is that the game has an auto-generate deck functionality. So I'll have her auto-generate me a deck, but it uses her collection of cards, which is very limited. So I get a very wacky, very unique auto-generated deck, which works great. Like, the game does incredible at generating cards that or deck that works from the cards you have. And that in combination with the new core set. Not the dress. Core set. I hate that they called it core set, because I don't
just use it and it will become normal. It's like the Nintendo
not,
Wii.
I can't say core set and not think of the tight thing. What is it? What is it? Is it underwear? Is it a dress? Like, what is a core set?
It's both.
Okay, underdress. Anyways, yeah, the core set, you just get a bunch of free cards, like really really good cards, just by having an account. So yeah, she's been generating decks. I've been playing with them, and it's been really fun, because I'll be like playing a card. I was like, wow, this is not meta at all, but it's a really cool card, and it's really fun to play it. And those are, those matches are definitely much more difficult to win, but still fun.
But is it still 100%?
Yeah, but they're close. They're really close. It wouldn't have been 100%. If I hadn't gotten lucky a few instances, and she's like, "No, you're just better," and I'm like, "Nah, I got so lucky with this and this and this," but it's fine.
Yep, I remember there was a similar situation whenever I would play Pokemon with Marion when we both really got into Pokemon X and Y, and there's just a few games that I remember where like she definitely had it in the bag, and then I would pull off some nonsense with like being able to use protect twice in a row or like switching out, like I like predicting her really hard or something like that. And like just barely squeaked by, and it maintained my perfect record. And I was very, very happy. And she was not.
Yeah.
She was not so happy.
Yes. That is quite sad. That is quite sad. What have you been playing?
Boy, a lot. And you know,
when alive,
I'm going to say them, and I'm not going to take forever on them. This I swear to the people.
By Jove,
of the patient.
You should do
podcast.
What I did. We should just run down through them, just a big old list, and then you know we could pick them apart.
I will give them some justice though. So I mentioned last time Portal Reloaded, right?
Yeah,
that game. I finished it. It was really good. I highly suggest it to anyone who liked Portal 2. Not very long, but like super awesome, completely mind bending. Again, it's Portal, where instead of just having two portals, you also then have a third portal that takes you to another timeline. And so there's all sorts of shenanigans with, you basically have two past portals and two future portals and a timeline portal. And it gets crazy. Very fun. Also, the Patient Players, not official, but my Valheim server that we were playing on, like pretty much every night, has temporarily gone into hibernation.
Oh! What?
We did everything that is available in the current early access. We achieved the final boss fight. Boy, just to talk about that for a brief moment. So myself and one of the other major players specifically avoided any spoilers. One of the players that we play with, friend of the podcast, Sam, loves spoilers, and so just immediately spoiled himself on everything in the entire game. But we'd asked him to not, you know, to not spoil us on those things. So he had dropped some hints about the final boss fight that I had chosen to ignore because they didn't make sense to me. He was like, hey, do you think we should do XYZ? I'm like, no, there's no way we'll need to do XYZ. And we totally needed to do XYZ, and we didn't. So we went into the boss fight woefully unprepared for the type of fight we would encounter. And one boss fight took us an hour and a half straight. And it was easily the most difficult thing I've ever done in Valheim.
What do you mean one boss fight?
As in, we were fighting the boss for an hour and a half without stopping.
Like one attempt run?
Yes.
Did you beat him after that long?
Yes, we did.
Thank goodness.
Yes, it was a little crazy. Jeez. So I had a similar experience when I was playing solo and I got to the second boss, but when I was playing with these, you know, four or five people all at once, the third and fourth bosses were not difficult at all. Like, because my friends who I was playing on the server with played a whole lot and got really overgeared and overprepared. So we'd walk in and we would destroy the boss in like 5 to 10 minutes. No one died. It was fun, but we were very, very overprepared. And I felt overprepared for this fight as well. We had very good armor. We had like basically everything you could have to make the fight easier, barring this one thing that if I had known better, we should have had.
What is this? Are you going to tell me what this one thing is? I'm really curious.
Do you want me to spoil it?
Yeah, I don't care about Valheim.
Well, it was a particular kind of resistance potion. There was a damage type I didn't think we would encounter in the final boss fight, or the not final, but the current final boss fight of the early access. Mm-hmm. I didn't think this boss would have any of that kind of damage because it didn't make sense for the zone. And turns out, literally all of his damage was this damage type. And
if
you were resistant, it would have been a normal boss fight. But because none of us were resistant, it could like two-shot you. And it was very, very difficult. I died once. I think the two other players both died at least like a dozen times each. And like our portal got destroyed at one point, and so I'm having to dodge boss attacks and then rebuild a portal so that they can get back.
Holy
and collect their armor. It was a saga. It was an hour and a half of just high adrenaline intensity, dodging boss attacks, whittling down his health. But we beat it. And that felt good. And now we're ready for whatever the next early access update is. But for now, we've all moved on to other games and I've shut down the server and saved the world file as a backup online. So Valheim's on pause. Great game. Be happy to play it again anytime. But waiting for more content there.
Nice. Congratulations. I've been seeing Sam play. What is it? Is it Black Ops Cold War every night?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Or is it Call of Duty 3? Oh, no, it's Call of Duty Warzone. Sorry, there's so many. Yikes, I didn't realize there's three different Call of Duty games on Battle.net. But I've been seeing him on there every night, and I'm like, I wonder what happened to Valheim, because he would do that every night instead.
Well, we beat it. We're done. We did the Valheim.
There you go.
We are the Viking.
You did the Valheim.
So I pretty quickly moved on to the next game on my list, Rogue Heroes, which I've posted about on the Patient Players Discord. It is a roguelike, but in the style of Zelda Link to the Past or Link Between Worlds. So, like, top-down 2D dungeon crawling style.
Is this the one that you were trying to get me to buy also, but it has split-screen co-op?
Yeah, it has both. Yeah, it has split-screen, and it also has online. Bought it. I would suggest anybody who's interested at all download the demo, because you can actually play a whole lot of the game on the demo.
Oh.
You only get one character class, but you get to do one of the four dungeons of the game. So you get about a quarter of the game. And I played through the demo, loved it, purchased the game while it was on sale a few weeks ago. And I think Marion played it with me split screen on my computer, and she liked it enough that she wanted to buy a copy for herself to play online if we were to do like a group game. The way I would describe it is it's like, so do you remember the feeling of playing Minecraft Dungeons together? Mm-hmm. But so how it was like kind of 90% running through fighting enemies and like 10% of the levels would just be, oh, you got to go like find this key or like push this rock onto a lever and like get through the door. There's like little puzzles kind of.
Yeah.
This game is like 50% puzzles and then like 50% combat. So there's a lot more of that kind of stuff of like figuring out a room or dodging like a rolling boulder, that kind of thing. Like it's not just nonstop combat the whole time. I really, really like it. Beat through the first dungeon, and I'm sure I'll play more of that in the coming days.
Nice. Have you done multiplayer with anyone?
Just with Marion split screen.
Was that fun?
It was. What was weird is that you basically create character profiles, like picture the way Valheim or Terraria does it. Mm-hmm. So I had a character that I had played through in the demo and had beaten the first dungeon, so I'd gotten a bunch of the like rogue currency to spend on health upgrades and weapon upgrades and stuff like that. And then she joined me, and my character profile had already been taken by me, so she had to generate a brand new character profile on my computer, and she started off with no upgrades.
Okay.
And then if she buys the game and she goes and installs it on her own computer and plays it, she'll have to start over, so she'll have to build her own character profile there, but my computer will have two character profiles on it. So kind of weird how they handle that. I mean, I can't think of a better way, but it means that, like, if you were to just jump in with me, we'd have to probably grind you through, not grind you through, because it's rogue, so it's different every time, but we'd have to play through the lower level dungeons so that you can get what you need to be strong enough to join the higher levels.
Interesting.
The revive mechanic is also limited in that it's kind of hilarious. When you die, you drop your skull, and your other players have to pick up your skull like you would carry like a pot and run around with it. And if you throw it, it starts to crack. So you can only pick it up so many times before it breaks. And you have to carry it to like a revival shrine where you put the skull. But then the revival shrine breaks, so you can only revive someone once.
Whoa, that's awesome.
It's really cool, but it's also like, you know, if she's struggling and dying and I'm like at full health, then it's a lot of her like watching me do the dungeon and then like carrying her skull. And mm-hmm. then once she's revived, if she dies again, it's like, well, I guess I'll just finish the dungeon.
That's fair. Are the character files like stored somewhere where you could easily just like duplicate your character if someone else wanted to join with your same stats?
It's a fantastic question that I will have to research. I don't know.
Interesting.
Great game, though. I'm going to keep playing it. My last quick game is Heat Signature, which is a game that I've owned for a long time. I just randomly decided to go back, and I am having a blast with it again. If you've never played The Stordon, or if anyone hearing this has never heard it.
Is that the space one?
With the ship?
Yeah.
This game is so fun, and going back to it and playing it again, I immediately got sucked back into it. There's so many things you can do with it. It's just a barrel of monkeys. It's like a space heist game. So you're going through and
it's very cheap right now, I might add. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, is it part of the sale?
It's $3.75 on Steam.
Wow, that is a killer. Everybody, go get Heat Signature if you're listening to this. It's so fun. Oh my goodness.
Very interesting.
I put maybe another like, oh my goodness. They have an upgrade edition? What is this?
Oh no.
Oh no. All the extras with the supporters edition. Oh, okay. So you get like prototypes of the game and a soundtrack and commentary videos and stuff.
It's always
the
soundtrack.
Okay. Anyways, that game is crazy. And it's crazy how fast it can be. So like it's the type of game like it's made by the guy I think who did Gunpoint. And it's like the kind of game where you can pause at any moment. And so in the course of like 2 or 3 seconds, your character can take like so many actions, like shoot a gun, throw an item, hit someone with a wrench, activate a personal cloaking device. But like if you keep pausing between all those, you can actually plan out every like split second, and that lets you pull off some really crazy things, like, you know, attaching to a ship and then warping all over the ship and knocking people out and stealing keys and then grabbing the thing you're trying to steal or killing the guy you're trying to kill and then getting out. And in real time it all took like 15 seconds, but in the game, cool. It was like a minute and a half of gameplay.
Nice.
And they really let you, like, they give you the rules and they let you go nuts with it. Like, I had an assassination mission and there was a really big ship with like 30 rooms and all these guys. And there was like 7 layers of security. And I was like, this sounds like a pain. So I left the ship and I just randomly hijacked a different ship, drove it over, and fired a bunch of missiles at the room where I knew the guy I was supposed to kill was.
What?
And blew him up from another ship, and then I completed my mission without ever even entering the ship, and then I just left and collected my reward.
That's so good.
Games that let you do stuff like that. I love it. It's really good.
That's there's good one. I went to buy it just now, and let me tell you, there's nothing cheaper than trying to buy a game. Turns out you already own it. So there you go. I feel like I just got a game for free.
There you go. Well, enjoy Heat Signature. It's great. I saw from a speedrunner that there's like a strategy in the game that is a little cheap, but it lets you basically beat any mission, no matter how hard it is, almost for free. And it's this idea that you can, there's a teleporter that specifically teleports you by swapping you with someone. And the game does not restrict you from using that while you are floating in space. And so if you need to kill someone, then you can literally just ride, like, it could be the highest maximum security ship in the game, and you could just ride your little pod up to it, jump out into deep space, pause right when you're next to their room, and then just swap with that person into space, and then like escape or jump out a window or something, and then you're good.
Wow, pro strats right so there.
Those are my quick games. Portal Reloaded, play it. Valheim, play it. Rogue Heroes, I'm going to play it more. And Heat Signature, definitely play it. Very fun.
Nice.
Wait. Jordan, if you play Heat Signature, then I can get the achievements for rescuing my friends when they get captured. That's I'm trying to get all the achievements, and I had no way of getting any achievements that required friends.
What the heck? But wait, what? How does that even work? I have to get captured on my own single-player game?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's roguelike, right? So, like, if I play for an hour, I'll probably play, like, three or four different characters. And they might die, or I might retire them because they've completed their mission or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But like, if you get captured, there's a chance that one of the like story missions that a character has is to rescue an earlier character who got captured. And so if I complete that mission, but the character I'm rescuing was one of your old characters, I get an achievement for that.
Oh, that's a dumb achievement.
Why?
That sounds difficult because you have to have another person with an account.
Yes. They also have one where when you retire a character, you can take one of their best items and pass it on, and then it'll just randomly show up in the world. Like, you might loot a chest, or you might, like, buy a mystery crate or something, and inside is just, like, this really powerful item that one of your old characters used to own. And you can also get your friend's items, so there's an achievement for getting an item from another player.
Oh, wow. Jeez. But so, do you have the hardest one to get, which is play the daily challenge every day for a week?
No, I did the daily challenge twice in a row, and then life events that took me away from my house kept me from completing that one. But I will. I want to get that one. There's also an achievement for beating the daily challenge with, because you only get to do it once, and then it tracks your score. You can play it again, but your score is only tracked the first time you do the challenge.
Ooh, that's fun.
There's an achievement for completing it without doing any of the like bonuses that make it easier. So don't buy any items. Don't do anything like that would, like, you have to complete the daily challenge as it was intended without dying the first time around.
Mm.
And that's an achievement that I'm really looking forward to getting.
That's pretty cool.
So those are my quick games. I have some bigger ones, but I want to hear more from you if you have anything else.
Well, Subnautica came out in the last 3 weeks.
Yes, Below Zero.
If you recall last time, I tried to get to the end and there was an invisible wall. Turns right. out, once the game released, Beyond That Invisible Wall was literally just the ending of the game. Just like a 10-minute segment of just doing some story stuff, and then it's all done. So,
oh!
Yeah.
It's like Hades.
Yeah, oh yeah, I guess it is. Yep, so that was fun to just get that achievement and just be done with that game. Man, such a good game. The first one is also such a good game. I almost wish... Like, they do a lot with the story. I almost want to say they do too much with the story, where, like, they're setting up this huge Subnautica universe. I just want a fun underwater survival game, you know?
And now they have lots of water survival games.
Do they?
Like, The Raft? Isn't that a survival water
game? Or, like, underwater.
I guess that's
like
true.
Like, being underwater with all the big sea creatures and everything, it's so cool. And at the end of the game, I guess that might be a spoiler.
Yes. Don't tell me. I want to play.
Okay, yeah, never mind. The story just goes places, and you're just like, I just wanted to scuba dive, and like, if they do a third one, there might not be scuba diving, so it'd be fun to have Subnautica 3, no water attached.
I knew about Subnautica before it even came out, because Subnautica was the project that team went to work on when they stopped working on Natural Selection 2, which is one of my favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're in the same universe. And like,
oh, really?
Yes, Natural Selection 2 is in the same universe as Subnautica. So I'm actually really excited about the idea of like a whole universe of like mashing those two together. Because like, I love Natural Selection 2.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure, yes. Like, there are company billboards and stuff in the maps of Natural Selection 2 that are referenced in Subnautica. Like, they're definitely in the same universe.
Whoa, that's weird. Okay.
Because then it's like whatever crazy alien threat from, I think they're called the Krull or something in the Natural Selection. Mm-hmm. Like, that's out there somewhere in Subnautica universe, as well as all the crazy water creatures. Yikes. On this other planet.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes.
But anyway.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, that's Subnautica. It's still fun. Still very fun. I just wish it was more Subnautica in a way. Or even a problem I had with it was you're not really incentivized to have multiple bases. And so the way I've played both games is I've set up a base in the starting area and then that's just my base, so I always come back when I need it. But the game provides you so many different assets to build a base just anywhere you want in the game, but you almost don't want to do that, because if you set up a base anywhere else, then all your stuff is there, and it would be just a massive pain in the butt to move it to a new base for no reason besides just being like, hey, this is cool. So I wish that they had some kind of... That's why I'm saying I want a more like fleshed out Subnautica game that is actually about like building bases and stuff underwater, and not like just completing a story and then just the game is done now because you completed the story.
Right, like a true survival game, not like a game that has a plot and everything.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Subnautica is absolutely a plot-based game. Like,
okay, both of them or just Below Zero?
I think the first one was too. The second one even more so.
Well, I was going to ask your opinion because I loved Valheim and I had so much fun with the survival aspect that I've been in the mood for one, and right now there's a giant survival game sale on Steam. Like, literally, it's like open world survival game sale.
Oh, nice. So
I was looking at some of those and none of them really piqued my interest, but I remember how much I liked Subnautica when I played it in Early Access, but I did play it a long time ago in Early Access and I never beat the original. So I'm wondering, like, if I wanted to pour some hours into some fun survival game, should I play the original Subnautica? Should I just jump straight into the new one?
Oh,
I don't know what to do.
Oh, I would say it does not. I mean, they're both two completely different games story wise. Like, you could do either one you want and have a complete experience. So I would say that choice is up to you.
Mechanics wise?
Yeah, probably the second one, I guess, because it's newer.
Okay. But, and the changes they made, are they like all like... like, if I play a bunch of the first one, if I jump into the second one, is it going to feel like the same game?
Yes. 100%.
Okay.
It almost feels like an expansion. Like an expansion
and
pack.
And the additions in the second one are worth like paying full price and...
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, if you don't own it, then I guess just play the first one. There were some things in the second one that were like really, really annoying. And I'm like...
Okay.
This is just bad game design. Like, there's a ton of land segments, because that's a big thing about the second one. Oh, you can go on land and actually do stuff on land.
Mm-hmm.
But the land is just massive, massive empty fields.
Mm.
And it's just so annoying to, like, find the places you need to go for the story. I had to look up a guide because the landmass was so large and empty, and it took me about, like, 10 to 15 minutes to get to the spot that I was supposed to go to. And I'm like, there's literally no other reason to come on land but for this reason. And you're just supposed to find this on accident by exploring for like 15 minutes in a big open. It was really weird. I'm just like, I wish Subnautica would stick to Subnautica gameplay.
Subnautical gameplay, please.
Exactly. And I'm like, I like that they're branching out, but they should branch out with a different franchise because they already have such a good thing going for their underwater just experience.
So my second question is this a good Switch game? Would you want it on Switch? Because they released it on Switch.
Yeah,
I haven't thought about playing it there. Is it a good controller game? I feel like you have so many things you're doing with building and everything that, like, I don't know, it's like playing Minecraft on controller versus on PC. Like,
I think that's a great way of putting it. The reason I didn't play with a lot of the survival aspects, like always drinking water and eating food, was because I didn't want to have to just go through all that extra inventory management for literally no reason. Like, the only reason is just don't die. So I just played without that. I imagine with a controller, that would also be really annoying. Like, either way, because that game is a game of inventory management. So it'd be a lot of organizing things manually with a controller. But maybe that'd be easier. I think I liked it with a mouse better, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for answering my Subnautica questions.
Yeah. But... fun. I got all the achievements for it, just like the first one. The first one was my first game to get all achievements. I'm glad that the second one was just as easy to do that.
VR?
Any VR? No. Are you talking about in Subnautica specifically, or just any VR?
Oh. Because Subnautica 1 VR, looking out at the open ocean, was one of the first times I was like just instinctively afraid while in VR. Like, it was just, there were no monsters or anything. It was just the open ocean. And I just had like that real fear of the open ocean you get in real life, but I was in VR. Later, I passed by a giant monstrosity in the ocean and that freaked me out even more. But that was my Subnautica VR experience. It also was really rough with the camera controls. I felt really barfy.
Yeah, this I'm looking and the second one does not have VR support.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Now I know. Thank you for the update.
Yep, yep. Hey, Overwatch had a stream. Do you remember that?
Yes, we tuned into the Overwatch 2 PvP update.
They did. And they showed off like 3 or 4 maps, I think.
Cool. I think I saw 2 of them.
Very exciting. A new game mode. Big changes coming to the game. 5v5.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The two things I remember hearing are, well, it's hearing while I was watching, and then later I caught up on some more, but 5v5, one less tank, which is crazy. And then also release date, not anytime soon.
Yes. Yep. Still. It's been almost 2 years since they announced it. So that's crazy.
A lot's happened in those 2 years. Let's be real though.
That's fair. Yeah. True.
So I mean, what else is there to say? Less tank, more Overwatch.
Yep.
It's
I want it. I want to play it. I want it now. Please.
I heard some interesting breakdowns from some other like games people that were talking about how Overwatch 1 had this interesting curve where, like, as it fell out of popularity in like the main gaming public eye, it got taken over by a very like competitive esports focus with the Overwatch League. Mm-hmm. And even like the day-to-day players are all like super focused on balance and on like competitive meta strategies and stuff like that. It's like not really a game that people just like jump into to play casually for a little while. Like, we try to do that once in a while, but like that would be hard to do regularly. People are so focused on improving and on strategy and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that like it's weird that they made this change when they're so focused on Overwatch League, when they're like ostracizing, you know, a little less than 20% of the players, because it's like all of a sudden you have all these people who have staked their life and their career and their income on being an Overwatch player paid by Blizzard to play Overwatch. And it's like, oh, by the way, half of the tanks, we just don't need y'all anymore.
Yeah, that was my first thought, is you don't, like, this is like an esports specific scenario, because there's like football or soccer or basketball doesn't just like wake up one day and be like, hey, we're just gonna have one less player on the team from now on. Like, right. Everyone would be like, oh my gosh, what? Like, think of all the players that have to be let go because like they're just not needed anymore. Or just, yeah, like that's such a crazy concept that can only happen with an esports game.
I heard it akin to just getting rid of third base. Like, oh, we're just not gonna have third base anymore.
Oh my word, dude, that's crazy. that's hilarious. Yeah. It's so weird, but I'm hoping it brings good changes to the game. I just want them to release it already. Like, the first one had a closed beta that you could at least try to get into. I want them to at least do a beta for this one. And BlizzCon was officially canceled this year again.
Okay.
And will be
not
online.
BlizzCon line.
Actually, no, sorry. It'll be in person early next year.
So kind of like this. Yeah. So this year they did it early in the year instead of late last year.
Yeah. Yes. But this year it was online. So I think they are delaying its normal time in November in person to early next year in person.
Okay. So they could do like a beta launch or a full game launch.
Yes.
BlizzCon.
Probably. I would imagine to be a beta launch at that time, if they're already saying it's nowhere close to being done.
Or I think they just said there's no way it's coming out in 2021. But early next year could be possible, but I think you're right. It's probably a beta launch.
Mm, yep. So that's a fun little update. Have you been playing pretty big games other than the tiny things you mentioned? Like, do you have bigger games that you've been playing?
Yes, I have. I have 2 that I wanted to mention, or technically 3 that I wanted to mention.
Oh.
Again, I don't have to spend that long on a lot of them. But being away from my home so much with the family tragedy, I had my Switch, and I was like, I'm going to get something new on the Switch, because like I'm tired of Yu-Gi-Oh! And there's just not a lot that I had to play on the Switch recently. I've played a lot of it. I did have my laptop, and I like played CrossCode for a few minutes. Still fun. I'll play more of that. But on the Switch, I ended up buying my own copy of Into the Breach, because I have your download.
I love that game!
I know you do. It's a good game.
Daniel, I love that game, so good. Oh, man, well, that game's so good.
I already owned it when they gave it away for free from Epic, but I was like, I need it on Switch. This is a Switch game, 100%. Like, I need this on Switch. And I played it. It's very fun. It feels unfairly difficult at times. And like, okay, because like, let me use Hades as an example. Hades is a game where I don't think I could beat it on my first run because you get so many character upgrades that like, eventually you're just stronger and it's easier to beat the game in addition to you getting better at it. With this game, I feel like it's that, but it's also luck, because it's like, I just don't have the monsters popping up in the area or it just seems like there are strategies where it's like, no matter how I pull this off, I'm going to lose units and take damage, and like, there's no way to get out of the situation. Mm-hmm. But again, the game encourages you with bonuses for like, not taking damage or getting out of it. And it's like, because I'm not getting the bonuses, I'm not getting strong enough to handle the challenges. And it's very like defeatist. I don't know. I feel bad playing it sometimes.
I almost it's considered a roguelike, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And almost in a way, it's almost like a card game where it's like, sometimes you just get dealt bad cards and the gameplay is essentially how well can you react to what bad things have happened. That's kind of how I remember looking at it.
Yeah, I wish it was more strategy, less randomness. Like, I'm okay if it was harder, if I had more tools to deal with it more consistently.
Right.
But sometimes the game just doesn't give you those tools.
You unlock new... I think a lot of strategy is unlocking new ships to choose from, right? Like, do you have a lot of options to build your team out of?
I've honestly only done like 3 runs, so I really just have the base group.
Oh, okay.
Like, so
I could be wrong, but I think you get to like pick and choose which of the ships. It's either you get to choose the ships or you get to choose like different preset pilots. Groups of them, and each of them do different things. And so like one group is like, oh, it's so good at doing this and this, and the other group is really bad. And then you could unlock a special group for like getting all the achievements, which I did in the Switch version, which is super cool. And they have their own little special perks.
Well, I would be happy to do this. I get the feeling that I will like it more as I play it. Right now, I'm just not in love. I'm enjoying it. It's a good game. But the amount I heard people rave about that game when it came out, and the amount I've heard you rave about that game because you love it, I want to feel that way. And right now, I really don't.
Yeah, it still has overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam. So it's widely loved, I'd say.
Cool. The other Switch game I bought into was so you like Monster Hunter, right, Jordan?
Yeah.
I did not buy Monster Hunter. Did not buy Monster Hunter Rise. What if Monster Hunter was more anime?
No. I was hoping you'd say less anime. I was really hoping you'd say less anime. That's
No. Let me correct
you. That is absolutely what I wanted you to say, and I'm very sad.
Current Monster Hunter is not even anime. It's just Japanese. Japanese.
Okay.
It's very Japanese, but it's not anime. You don't have the angsty teens. You don't have the giant swords that turn into mouths to eat people.
That's fair.
Like,
is that a thing in this one that you're playing?
Yes, I bought God Eater 3.
I've never even heard of that.
It's anime Monster Hunter. You're fighting giant origamis.
Wow.
And you
full
are
priced game. Oh my gosh.
what are you looking
at? I think
at?
I just threw up a bit in my mouth. This is very anime.
It is so anime.
Crap.
The intro is like 30 minutes of like anime cutscenes, and all the characters are super anime, and like,
oh, it's Bandai Namco. Okay.
Yes. But it's still Monster Hunter. I'm waiting for it to get to the Monster Hunter. I got to be real. I enjoyed the Monster Hunter fights that I got to do, but I'm like an hour and a half into the game and I have fought 2 monsters.
Oh my goodness.
The rest of it has been go on this mission and fight. So you know how Monster Hunter has like the small monsters, like the ones you carve meat off of?
Yeah.
The first, I don't know, like 8 missions of the game are just killing those.
Oh, that's fun.
Like they're not, there's like, you kill them in like 5 hits, there's no challenge. And then your reward for that is 2 minutes of anime cutscene, and then you get to go do it again. And like, the intro has been a little rough, but there was a shining moment where like, you got to fight a big monster and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of nuts, this is cool. So you know how in Monster Hunter, a lot of the weapons had like upgraded modes. Like if you pulled off this combo or you hit the monster this many times, you would like go into like a super mode.
Mm-hmm.
This has that same concept where your weapon can eat parts of the monster. So you like will get buffed up and then you're doing like different combos. And I think the combat is a little bit simplified compared to actual Monster Hunter. Like there might be two or three combos that your weapon has, not like eight of them. So I'll probably play some more of that whenever I'm on the go. I'm glad I got it on the Switch because I don't think I would want to sit down and play it on PC.
What inspired you to buy this?
It was on sale for $15.
Oh, that's a great reason. Okay. I was seeing that yes. It was $60 and I was like, wow, he must have been like really enthusiastic about Weeaboo Hunter.
No, if I wanted to play a $60 Monster Hunter game, I would have just bought Monster Hunter Rise.
That's fair, which I'm really glad that's not what you said that you bought because I'm still hoping to play that with you when it comes to PC.
Yes.
But hey, speaking of Switch, or were you going to say something?
I had one more game, but I think there's some news you're going to talk about.
Just that the rumor on the floor right now is that the Switch Pro is going to be announced before E3, which is
yes
very soon. Apparently, a Switch Pro was listed on Amazon like yesterday.
From like some African seller, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. But it was promptly taken off. It could be, you know, someone doing weird stuff, but it's gotten a lot of people talking that they might think it'll be announced before E3 for some reason. I guess that makes sense that they wouldn't do it at E3. But it's amazing it's going to be E3 this year at all, honestly.
Yes.
But that's coming up soon.
It's still virtual, but it is happening. Yes,
that is coming up in 2 weeks from today. Sorry, 2 weeks from last Saturday. So that's June 12th to the 15th. Super excited for that.
Yeah, I sent a message to my wife because I was like, hey, make sure we're like saving your spending money because they might announce a Switch Pro pretty soon. I'm sure we'll both jump on that if
nice.
We are given the opportunity. But those rumors for the Switch Pro have been going on for literal years. So yeah. It's like also kind of hard to believe. But I do know what you're saying, that there's like a few things that have happened where it's like, oh, this might actually be happening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope it does.
I heard like some display manufacturer like mentioned it themselves. So like that was kind of a pretty big telltale.
Think about how good God Eater 3 is going to look on the Switch Pro.
Oh, man.
Just all those graphics.
I'm just looking forward to what it will actually have that'll make it a pro version, you know, that won't leave normal Switch owners in the dust or Switch Lite owners.
My understanding has been that Nintendo has been, like, explaining to developers that they should be building their games with the capability of being scaled up.
Mm-hmm.
So and I believe that the original Switch model was using some mobile chips that were a couple years old at the time the Switch was made.
Oh.
So that the new modern mobile chips are a significant improvement, and if the games are designed in a way that they could take advantage of more power if it was there, it might be like a boost mode kind of thing where like all the games receive a little bit better performance based off of this new chip in the machine.
That sounds tasty.
I'm looking forward to that. I have one last game to talk about. Are you ready?
Yes.
I played a game on a computer with my new graphics card that fully utilizes it to its fullest.
Was it Minecraft?
It was Control with ray tracing. And boy, if that is not the most beautiful game I have ever played in my entire life.
Wow, I didn't know Control had ray tracing.
Yes, that was one of its big selling points when it came out on the PlayStation Plus, the PS Pro. All the stuff. It's did we get another preview of something?
You're back. It's fine.
Okay. yeah, so I had my 3080 last episode of the podcast, if you remember, and I like hadn't really played anything on it, but I was like, I really want to play something crazy on it, and then Control went on sale with the Ultimate Edition with all the DLC for like $20 or $18 or something. So I bought it, and one, that game is a lot more fun than I thought it would be. I am loving it.
Oh, really?
It is super fun, yes.
Huh.
It's like, some of my favorite games in the world are like Infamous or games where you have superpowers, and it's like, okay, what if you could just throw things with your mind? And also it was a really fun shooter. And also if it looked beautiful at all times, it's just so gorgeous. I turned everything up to high and I've purposely not put my frame counter on because, like, I don't want to know if it goes below 60. I just want to enjoy the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put everything on, like, the default high values, and then I turned ray tracing on high as well. And I was, like, so ready for it to chug, and it's not. It's just smooth and beautiful, and it makes me happy that I bought this graphics card.
Man,
it looks
that's awesome.
So good.
Well done. Good job.
I should screen share some for you, but...
You did it. Oh, I doubt it would be, like, being there, I'm sure.
Well, but just to see the ray tracing, as opposed to, like, the frame rate may be lower, but you could at least see what it looks like. It's really, really cool. So that's been my life in games. All of those, just to run through them again, Portal Reloaded, Valheim, Rogue Heroes, Heat Signature, God Eater 3, Into the Breach, and Control. Play a lot of video games.
Those sound like some good video games.
Marion and I played Divinity for like an hour.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That makes me so happy. You're getting there. You're doing it.
We are. We are. We made some progress. We killed some people, teleported some people, saved an elf lady. It was great.
Yay.
Any more games for you? Or are we going on to the questions and answers?
Yeah, we can do question and answers. Just after this quick update that Miitopia is fun. And not very strategic at all.
Yep. Oh, wait. Yeah. I didn't even think about Miitopia. Yeah, that's a new... No, you talk more about Miitopia.
No, that's all I have to say, really.
Oh.
Like, if you want to know what I think about Miitopia, go back to last episode, where I was talking about me playing the demo. That's... I mean, just imagine that, but in the full game, except now I have more insight on... Like, I just play the game on auto mode, honestly.
Like, so you're just in it for the silly stories and
stuff?
Yeah,
I'm just in it for the silly character interactions because the fights, they do themselves. And like even if you don't have auto mode turned on, there's barely anything you actually get to choose yourself. So there's no reason not to play on auto mode.
So it's not like pick attack, pick target for each character? Or
no,
what?
For just your character.
Oh, wow.
So the other three are already on auto mode just by default.
All the time?
Yeah. So I'm just like, I'll just put mine on auto mode and then just... Yeah,
it's a stank turd.
It's weird how you don't get to choose for the other people. Yeah, but I'm still in it for the fun times, and it makes me wish that they'll put me. Oh, what was the other me 3DS game? Miitomo? It wasn't Miitomo. That was the iPhone game, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was like wasn't it like Tomodachi Life or something?
Yes, Tomodachi Life. Playing this makes me wish that they'll put Tomodachi Life on the Switch. That game is so funny. So good. All hail the roast beef.
Are you still like having fun with it, even though it's not like a good strategy game?
No, just I totally am.
The stories are still just like that funny and mm-hmm. you haven't gotten bored of it?
The stories and getting to choose like the faces for the characters. You know, mm-hmm. I made Jack Black into the genie. I have
that sounds fun.
I have Burger King Man as the king of the land.
Okay.
And I keep doing like personal friend me's for my party. And so like Keaton is the cat class. I made Sam an imp. Judah is a rogue. It's fun times.
Okay. Wow, that does sound like fun. And you're happy you bought it full price and enjoying it?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Full price at I think $50. So $10 off a full priced game.
Cool. That works. All right. Best part of the podcast, questions and answers section of the podcast. Will you take us away with our first email, Jordan?
I will do that very thing. We have a new writer today. That's awesome. It says, hello, ooh. Hi. I was shy to send an email to you guys. Well, thanks for writing us. That's awesome. It's been great having you in everyday life while doing chores or just chilling. It's been nice hearing your thoughts on my big time games and hobbies like Pokemon, woo, Zelda, anime. By the way, I love Overlord 2. I don't know what Overlord is, Daniel.
We talked. That's the game that had the Picross game.
Oh, okay.
Of Overlord.
Okay, nice. And other games. My favorite game series in adult life is probably BioShock. Nice. And I'm so hyped that it's getting a fourth installment. Anyways, is BioShock getting a fourth installment?
They're working on it. They haven't announced like the title or anything, but somebody is making a BioShock something.
Wow, I didn't know that. Anyways, here's my question about my childhood favorite game, Zelda. Do you feel like Breath of the Wild delivered strong, or was it pushed too much by everyone else to be open world? Hopefully, you have time to read my thoughts down below. I've been a long time Zelda loving... I've been a long-time Zelda fan, loving everything from the handheld to consoles, but Breath of the Wild did not do it for me. The artistic style felt like Sword and Shield, and the NPCs were fairly blank, like some Skyrim NPCs. What I was lacking was dungeon items, actual dungeons with original ideas. Every zone where there is a disaster and a dungeon should be unique, like in the past games. Mini-bosses with a cool background should return. Valuable NPC interactions that push side quests a step further. A companion like Midna to roam the land with you. Someone sassy and comical like Dandelion from Witcher 3. Basically, I want Breath of the Wild 2 to be a mix between Twilight Princess, Witcher 3, and maybe Skyrim. That sounds like an awesome combination. I say maybe because I have not finished it, and I don't want the physics to take me out of gaming experience, the feeling of immersiveness. Have a good one. Well wishes from Joseph. P.S. Joining your Discord.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for the email. Yeah. By the
Breath
way, if you're listening...
of the Wild.
patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com is the email address where you can join Joseph in sending in your first email and joining in the discussion. Thank you, guys. You make the podcast awesome. And that Discord channel is over at the website patientplayers.com/discord. So jump in there, join us throughout the week playing games. But what a great question. So hold on. Let me just clarify. Original question was, did you feel like Breath of the Wild delivered strongly? And then kind of secondly were some observations about what we were wanting from a sequel, right?
Yeah, well, did it deliver strong, or was it pushed too hard to be open world?
Okay, what do you think, Jordan?
Oh, well, I mean, you've heard me talk about Breath of the Wild. But I feel like my opinions were different from what's being stated here, where I was like, it felt like a walking simulator a little too much. And that was the thing that you liked, was that you could walk anywhere and discover fun little secrets and whatnot. I still think it delivered strong, though, for being a first-time open-world Zelda experience. I think it did good. I hope the second one does better, obviously. And I love what Joseph said about being a mix between, like, Twilight Princess, Witcher 3, and Skyrim. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, that sounds amazing.
Here's some information.
Yes.
If Siri keeps talking to me about Skyrim.
Yeah, well, and, like, your stupid memes about Zelda aside, Breath of the Wild is great, okay? And the exploration was a big part of that. I think the question of, like, was it pushed by everybody else to be open world? I think I disagree with that. I think that it was... I think the team who made Zelda took their own shot at open world and revolutionized it in a way. Like, I think we've been seeing now, like, there was that Immortal Phoenix Rising from Ubisoft, and, like, there are games that are now taking concepts from Breath of the Wild that were original about open worlds and incorporating it into their games, right? Like Genshin Impact, Immortal Phoenix Rising.
Breath of the Wild,
like,
doesn't have anything original about open world.
Oh, 100% it does.
Okay. What does it have that, say, Just Cause 2 didn't have?
So the layout of the open world being one in which you are pulled to the traditional towers, but rather than hitting a button and getting a map scan with a bunch of million icons showing up, there is no million icons. It is, you look out and you see, you know, points that you want to go to. You have interest as a player and want to go exploring there, and so you mark them yourselves and go exploring. You're not pulled along by an icon that tells you where everything is. You just go. That is something that's new. Other games have done things like climbing stamina meters, but, like, those are being pulled directly into some of these other games, like Genshin, I'll use as an example because I know that game pretty well. I think that, like, it didn't invent the open world genre, but I do think it did a lot of things in exploration and the amount of hidden goodies that you could find, and that you were never disappointed by exploration. It's the opposite of what you talked about with Subnautica, right? Like, I get on this land, I run around for 10 minutes, and there's, like, one thing that I found that I maybe wouldn't have even found. With Breath of the Wild, you can't walk any direction for 3 minutes without accidentally finding, like, a little goblin camp to fight, or, like, it may not be huge, it may not be a shrine, it may not be, like, a NPC character, but, like, sometimes it is. Sometimes you just stumble into something. Like, I remember a lot of people were talking about that great island in the game where you just stumble upon it and all of a sudden it takes away all of your stuff and you have to complete this challenge.
Oh, that was pretty cool, especially finding that by accident.
Exactly. Like, that's the kind of thing it does. So it's like in Skyrim, there's... did you ever find Blackreach when you were playing Skyrim?
I got bored of Skyrim so many times.
So there is an area of Skyrim that you kind of just wander into through one of the dwarven ruins. And it's just like any other like random dungeon you go into. But at a certain point, you walk into a new zone and it loads you into an area called Blackreach. And Blackreach is a subterranean cavern that is about a third the size of the entire game.
Oh my gosh.
It is a cavern that stretches across most of the middle of the entire continent of Skyrim.
That's pretty cool.
And it's awesome. And you just wander into it. And like, that's the kind of thing that can happen with Zelda, is it's like, it's not like there are only big things to find, but there are a ton of small things to find, you know, maybe a little upgrade for your, whatever those things were that upgraded your Korok seeds. Like, you find a Korok seed all the time. And like, that's not going to change your life, but it was a fun challenge to find it. Or then there was like those pictures to go find, and it just encouraged exploration in so many different ways. That was cool. So I think at its core, what Joseph is talking about in the email is like a very different game. It's not like, I want this from Breath of the Wild. It sounds like he just wants a different Zelda game.
Yeah.
Like having dungeons with their own themes and mini bosses, and
I really hope they don't get rid of that, because that's definitely like a special category that Zelda basically came up with. Like, did they not?
Yeah, I'd say like if a game like Darksiders does that, but like people say Darksiders is a game like Zelda,
right?
Like, it's,
yeah. So I hope that Breath of the Wild 2 is good and it's still open world in its own way, but I hope that they continue making almost like classic Zelda games, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I guess they aren't.
Well, and like, I'll acknowledge half of this list you could do in a Breath of the Wild, right? Like, the dungeons in Breath of the Wild were the way they were because they just designed them that way, but they could have been all unique, and they could have had mini bosses that had a cool background. They could have had, you know, longer side quests. I mean, some of those side quests were pretty long, but I agree, like, Nintendo's not where I go for the, like, really deep character moments, right? Like that's what The Witcher is for, even more than Skyrim. Like, Skyrim to me is kind of like a lot of generic fantasy storytelling. The Witcher is where, like, you have really interesting and fascinating characters that don't do what you would expect them to do and have deep personalities and motivations and stuff. And like, there's nothing stopping them from doing that, but I think you're going to be disappointed if you expect Nintendo to like mature their stories.
That
more
is a great
just
point.
Yeah. Rescue the princess.
If anything, they've been going away from those recently,
yes,
to make their franchises just more family friendly and just, I don't know, easy and simple. You know, like Paper Mario, for instance, people want complex characters and storylines, and they're just like, no, you just want this itty bitty little baby story, because
right?
This is our Paper Mario franchise.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, okay, like thanks.
Mario and the Rabbids, right? Like, you're gonna get that. You're not gonna get The Witcher,
which was so good, man. I love Mario and Rabbids. Gosh.
If I had remembered I owned that game, I probably would have played that instead of Into the Breach. But the one thing that Joseph mentioned, which Joseph, we might have to fight about this.
Oh, no.
Do not give me a sassy Nintendo companion in Breath of the Wild. Oh. I do not need a Navi, a Midna, or a Fee screaming at me on how to go forward. Like, that's part of what made Breath of the Wild awesome, is it's just you and the world, and you don't have anyone being like, why don't you check out the Zora domain? I hear they have a dungeon there, right?
Oh,
like,
my word.
Oh, my goodness.
You make a great point. I don't think that ever occurred to me that you don't have someone telling you what to do in Breath of the Wild.
And I do not want somebody telling you what to do.
Yeah, you're just walking along, and they like pop out, pull you into like a text box, being like, "Hey, you should go check out that gate. It looks like it could be locked by something."
Yes,
wow.
I think if there's anything Nintendo did right in Breath of the Wild, it was get rid of Link's companions and just let him explore the world.
Okay, but what if they had a companion that was still sassy and fun, and spoke for the character who does not speak, but they just didn't summon themselves? How about that?
Name a single speaks for the character Nintendo character that is not irritating. I can think of one.
Cappy?
I guess so.
But he doesn't really speak for the character. He just speaks
I'd say Cappy
character.
Is a net neutral. I don't think Cappy is, like, good or bad. He's not annoying.
Okay.
But he didn't improve the game.
I want to Google Nintendo sidekicks. I want a list.
The only, like, Nintendo sidekick that I liked was Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, all of the sidekicks.
Okay. Like, yeah.
When they would talk, they would have like clever personalities and things to say, but like Nintendo's character writing is not in a good place right now.
Absolutely. I'm having difficulty finding a list.
So I think that to get Joseph what he wants, I think that Breath of the Wild 2, some of these items they could definitely do. The dungeons, they could definitely make the dungeons more unique and the mini bosses more unique. I don't think the kind of character interactions you're looking for are going to be in Breath of the Wild 2. Maybe I could be wrong.
Set your expectations low for character writing for Nintendo, sounds like, is the takeaway.
Honestly, I really like some of the character interactions in Hyrule Warriors. So, like...
Which wasn't
made by Nintendo. But it has all the Breath of the Wild characters, and I'm like, oh, this is actually, like, a fun little cast of characters. Like, you can do fun stuff with this.
Man, that's funny.
I found out there was a character from one of our favorite animes that voices Urbosa, which made me happy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. Thank you for the email, Joseph. That was great. Any other thoughts on Joseph's email?
No, I hope that Breath of the Wild 2 is fun. And I mean, I get bored of games very easily. If they're not fun to me, I don't play them. I did play 120 hours of Breath of the Wild, so it could just be that I haven't played it in like, I don't know, 5 years that I've forgotten, or three, 4 years that I've forgotten the feeling of discovering new places and how fun that actually is.
I if you gave it another shot and you ended up liking it, that would make me very happy.
But I beat it.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
You do all four dungeons and everything?
Yeah, I beat the whole game. I just didn't do the DLC afterwards because I was a little...
Oof. That was good too, though.
Yeah,
the DLC is my favorite part
repetitive.
Of the game. The second one, or you're talking about the Master Trials?
Yeah.
The ballad one, the second one, easily my favorite part of the game. Like, it had the best fun little challenge, the best shrines, and the best dungeon by far, and the best boss fight.
Nice.
Best part of the game.
Nice. Yeah. The first DLC bummed me out too much. I didn't even try the second one.
Oh, okay.
Oopsie poopsie.
Our last email for this week,
what the
set of 2 weeks,
what
will
on earth?
Come in. It's a repeat message, not a repeated message, but repeat writer from one Alicia Morha that says, the last time I wrote to you, by the way, for those who weren't here in previous weeks, we have some little bit of a psychedelic experience coming in from Alicia, some strange things going on that are usually paired with a cryptic message that's most likely from our good friend Kay, good friend and writer of the podcast Kay. So, Alicia Morehouse says, last time I wrote to you, I was stuck at the bottom of a mysterious pool of delicious blue sludge. For reasons I can't quite explain, I am able to breathe here, and I am unable to swim back to the surface. I wandered aimlessly for what feels like hours for a way to climb back up, but I have no such luck, and exhausted, I decided to sit down and rest, and when I took a seat, my stomach began to growl. For a second, I began to panic, realizing that I had nothing to eat, and I remembered that I was currently submerged in an entire pool of delicious mouth-watering blue sludge. I opened my mouth and inhaled the nectar surrounding me. I took 3 huge gulps, but my stomach rumbled louder. I took in another 3 gulps. This time I swallowed much more than before. My stomach, as if challenging me, rumbled more. I didn't bother taking gulps anymore. I opened my mouth and inhaled as much as I could. I swallowed and swallowed and swallowed, and at some point, no more of the delicious blue was entering my mouth. I looked around. There was nothing left but an empty stone cavern. Where the blue pool once resided, my stomach rumbled like thunder, even louder, and it wasn't nearly enough. I swerved my head violently, looking for any more of the scrumptious blue that I desired, but the only thing I could find was a scrawled message on the floor that said, "Hey, E3 is coming up soon, and it's always a special event for us gamers. With that said, would you watch E3? Do you like seeing all the new games announced, or do you zone out until you see a game that you would actually be interested in buying? Are you somewhere in between?"
Are you going to do the formatting of this email justice?
Well, let's just say that as time went on, Alicia seems to have become a little more unstable and a little bit more blue.
Which is very well shown in the email, in a way.
But what a great question that that writer of the podcast, Kay, wrote to Alicia Morha via the blue scrying pool, I guess.
Wow. Do you like seeing all new games, or do you zone out? You know, I'm the opposite. I don't zone out until I see a game I like. I zone out until I see a game I don't like. Does that make sense?
No.
It means as soon as weeboos come on the screen.
I was going to say, just say anime. It's okay,
Jordan. I pull out my phone and I'm just like, okay, next game. I'm done with this. Like anything else, I'm just like, okay, this looks cool. Okay. Sometimes they're like, yeah, ooh, big sword. Yeah. Oh, Nancy, I love you. I'm like,
Nancy would never be in an anime game. No one named Nancy has ever existed in an anime game.
And I, of course, I've watched E3 with my friend Keaton since like 2009. So he's always there like, oh, Jordan, it looks so nice. He's like grabbing my shoulders and like jerking me back and forth. And I'm like, Keaton, I just want to see the fun games. And he's like, but the waifus, Jordan, the waifus. And I'm like,
I just can't wait till they announce the next anime Smash Bros. Character. That is what I'm excited for. Shin Megami Tensei 3 came out on Switch recently, right? Let's get a Shin Megami character in Smash Bros. Let's do this, Sakurai. Come on. I think we killed Jordan with anime. Okay, but then like when do you come back into E3? Is it like just the next game, the very next game, you're like, okay, I'm back in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless it's like it's an if loop. If anime, forget, and then it just repeats.
Wait.
You know, but if
so,
not,
so you're then telling me when the beautiful Project Triangle strategy came on, you were just dying to know more.
Project Triangle.
Project Triangle strategy. Project Triangle strategy.
I forgot about Project Triangle Strategy.
What a video game name.
The game.
I love seeing what's going on at E3. Even if I have no interest in playing a game, I like knowing what's going on. Like, you know, I've already played Nier, but they're announcing a Nier for Xbox. It's like, okay, that's cool. Or my favorite is like, I was not ever going to play Shinmu, or like, I didn't have interest in The Last Guardian, but like when people freaked out about that, that was kind of fun. Last year when they were like, oh, hey, by the way, we're bringing over Phantasy Star Online 2 to America after like 12 years of this weird Japanese MMO. Like, that was hilarious. I like when stuff like that happens, even though I have no interest in it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, obviously games that I like, I get more excited about. Like if you throw up like an Infamous logo or a Spider-Man logo, I'm going to be like, yes, please tell me more immediately. I'm interested.
Get in my belly.
Yes. E3 right around the corner. At our current schedule, that means we will be recording right before E3.
That's pretty cool.
Huh. Well, except we do need to correct our recording schedule a little bit because we had that 3-week gap. We're going to try and bring you an episode next week. So we will not be available at our normal time 2 weeks from today when you're hearing this. But we will be next week. So we're going to try to do an early episode next week. Maybe it'll be shorter. Maybe we don't have as enough to talk about. But our pre-E3 episode, maybe we can do some E3 predictions. How does that sound?
That sounds all right. Yeah.
We'll both be, you know, $500 lighter as we pre-order our Switch Plus or whatever it's going to be called. Or our, yes. Oh, sorry, new Nintendo Switch Pro, I think it was.
Oh, no.
I think that was the listing that went up from like an African retailer or something, was the new Nintendo Switch Pro.
Are you serious? I thought you were just making a joke.
No, I think that that's actually what the rumor is.
Oh, they're going to do a Nintendo name. I didn't even think about that. I love the meme of the DS's names all like piled together, and you got a few like Sega ones in there.
Yeah,
the new DS 3X Pro Lite Switch Lite X.
Yep,
Genesis
with Funky Kong.
Yes, with Funky Kong. I always like to throw that in there. Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, thank you guys for joining us on the podcast this week. We hopefully will see you next week, but maybe it'll be a little while. We'll get excited for E3. And you can join us over at patientplayers.com/social on all our different social media channels. And there's a Discord link in there to join us on Discord. And, I think Among Us is, like, the full version with all the costumes is free on the Epic Game Store right now. So
it is.
Join us for some Among Us pretty soon. That'd be fun. We can get more people to play it with us. But the email address you can send in your messages is patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. And we will see you guys there. Any other last words for the people, Jordan?
I love you, the people. Go eat some CC's for me.
All right. Yep. Crypt Bros out.
Peace.